For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Moas. 150 years ago this month, a pivotal battle took place in the Civil War. The fighting between the Monitor and Merrimack, also known as the Virginia, helped to change the history of naval warfare. In the next in our ongoing series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, Dan Modlin has more on the story.
The battle took place on March 8th and 9th, 1862, at Hampton Roads. WKU military historian Dr. Jack Thacker says the Confederate ship, the Virginia, had been constructed in a unique way.
Well, the Virginia was constructed from an old Union frigate, the Merrimack, hence sometimes the battle is called the Monitor and the Merrimack. And what the Confederates decided to do was make an ironclad out of her, which it had been a wooden ship. And so what they did is they constructed it in such a way that they made these 2-inch thick iron plates, and they made covered the superstructure with two layers of these 2-inch thick iron plates, and put positions for 10 guns on it, four on each side, and then two pivot guns, one in the front and one in the back, which were 7-inch rifles. And they also, on the waterline, 3 feet below the waterline, they put 1-inch steel iron plates.
Dr. Thacker says the Confederate Navy had to make use of whatever materials it could obtain.
They made them out of old railroad rails. And as a result of that, they couldn't make them any thicker than 2 inches. And they don't have any engines for them, so they reconditioned the engines that had been on the original Merrimack. And they really do not work very well. And this is the big weakness. There are two weaknesses. One, it has a 22-foot draft, which means it sits way down in the water. If you were looking at it, it looks like a barn floating in the water in which you only see the top. Mm-hmm. And they had constructed in such a way you have a 35-degree slope on it, so that means that any balls hitting it, any shot hitting it, are going to ricochet off. So it is a totally different kind of construction.
Civil War historian Dr. Glenn LaFantasy of WKU explains what the Confederacy hoped to accomplish by sending the Virginia to Hampton Roads.
Stephen Mallory, who was Secretary of the Navy for the Confederacy, was a pretty capable guy and very bright. And he, knowing the trends in naval warfare, had a vision that wrapping a ship in iron would be of great advantage. And what was immediately at stake in Hampton Roads, Virginia, in the area of Norfolk, where there's still a huge naval base, was to open up the mouth of the James River that had been closed first as part of the blockade that Lincoln had imposed after the start of the war, but also the fact that the U.S. Navy still controlled Norfolk and the Gosport Navy Yard in Portsmouth, Virginia. And this was particularly galling, obviously, to the Confederates. So the hope was to swipe away any of those ships that were either at Gosport, at Norfolk, at Fortress Monroe, which is in that area at the mouth of the James as well. And so that was the hope. And ultimately, Mallory did have a vision that he hoped they could build more and more ironclads beyond transforming the Merrimack into the CSS Virginia. And that is something that was attempted. But as Jack mentioned, the industrial capability of providing engines for these ships was where the Confederacy fell short.
Once the Confederate ship, the Virginia, appeared in Hampton Roads and made it clear that it could inflict heavy damage on some Union ships, Union forces moved quickly to get the Monitor to the area. Dr. Thacker explains the construction techniques used in the Monitor.
The Monitor was a revolutionary design by a very eccentric inventor by the name of John Ericsson, who had invented earlier the screw propeller, and he had been one of the versions of it. And he was a very capable person, but had a long-standing series of disagreements with the Navy. The Confederates did not manufacture this in secret. I mean, the Union found out about it. And Gideon Welles, who was the Secretary of the Navy for the Union, realized this is a game changer, could be a changer. He was not interested in building ironclads. He was trying to build a Navy as fast as he could to expand the blockade. He didn't have time for it, but he did order 3 prototypes. And one of the prototypes was going to be built by Ericsson. And it just so happened that was the first one that was finished. It was finished, actually, about 2 weeks before the Virginia. The problem with it is it only has 11-foot draft. It looks like, if you're looking at it, it looks like a raft with a cheese box on top. And it has two 11-inch rifle cannon on it, and the little turret on top goes around, and it can go, take different positions. The advantage of it is it fires a shot that is, weighs 175 pounds. So you can imagine it carries quite a wallop for that day. The problem, but the big problem is that it is not really designed to sail on heavy seas. When the Virginia comes out and begins its operations, panic breaks out in Washington, and they immediately dispatch the Monitor, because that's all they've got available, to go down there. And it almost flounders on the way down there. It gets there okay, but it almost flounders on the way down.
The Virginia did manage to sink some Union ships during the battle that ran March 8th and 9th in 1862. However, neither the Monitor nor the Virginia was destroyed in the battle. Historians say the impact the battle had goes well beyond the Civil War. Dr. Glenn LaFantasy.
Historians have debated this point, some more recently claiming that the development of ironclads was inevitable, and if it hadn't happened in America, then it certainly would have happened in Europe. That may be true, but what this was the first combat, the first encounter between two ironclads, and it really demonstrated what the power of these ships could be, what the potential could be. Both of them, as we've indicated, were of the Monitor and the Virginia, were of flawed designs. Well, this battle also gave the opportunity for at least the Union to perfect the design of the Monitor. That became a class of warship, generic term as well as a specific name for the USS Monitor. But following this conflict at Hampton Roads in March 1862, what swept through at least the Union and to a considerable degree in Europe was something called monitomania. And foreign countries and the United States recognized that this was the future, and everybody started building ironclad warships, ultimately to the point where Great Britain, before World War I, developed the very famous HMS Dreadnought. And that was the start of what we think of and what we conceive of as modern battleships.
And despite the impact both the Monitor and the Virginia had on naval history, neither had a happy ending.
The blockade continues, and then when the Union forces occupy Norfolk itself, they can't move the Virginia upriver. The draft is too thick, so they have to blow it up. But what happens is, on the 31st of December, 1862, the Monitor sinks off Cape Hatteras in heavy seas.
Yes. That whole problem of it being a tin can on a shingle, essentially, hits a storm off Cape Hatteras. And, Hatteras, notorious for ships sinking in the first place. But here's this thing bobbing around on stormy waves and just totally overcome by the waves and sinks.
This has been the latest in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the American Civil War. Our guests today were Dr. Glenn LaFantasy and Dr. Jack Thacker of the WKU History Department. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.